Host Rob from Robbie Raz Reviews, as always. We've got Logan down there in the green room, although it doesn't look quite as green today.
I know. I shut the garage door so you could really see my face and my features, you know?
It's fantastic.
You're welcome.
I'm excited. We have got today with us, we have got Rick from 724 Cigars. Rick, thanks for taking the time to sit down and chat with us.
It's my distinct pleasure.
You are coming to us live from where?
None of your business? I'm in Brooklyn, New York. Home of the Nets. Jason Kidd, he just became the coach. Did you hear?
Yeah, I heard he retired because he wanted to spend some time with his family. I guess he got sick of his family.
Yeah. Family.
No, that's good for him. He's a former Cal Bear. Go Bears.
Yeah.
Go Bears. Yeah, I can't... I'm more of a baseball guy myself, baseball and football. I can't really talk too much about basketball. Maybe Logan can?
I know fucking nothing. Dude.
Wow, I want a soundbite of that.
That's about perfect. Basketball. About basketball.
That is perfect.
Dude, I don't
perfect
know anything.
Perfect soundbite. Okay, so let's jump right in, Rick. I've got some questions from the audience, and Logan's going to take some as we go. We've got a big giveaway today. We're giving away, what are we doing, a box of the Lanceros?
I don't know what you're talking about. Talk to my attorney.
So I'll function as your attorney right now.
Since we've already
previously discussed, I think we're doing a box of either the Lanceros, the Dog Walkers, and then I can't remember, and then a couple of the Hustler samplers.
Yeah.
Or maybe nothing if people don't treat us nice.
Right. We're sensitive.
Yeah, there's that.
We are very, very Meg.
So, Rick, give us a little bit of background. You know, there's some people watching the show live. There's going to be people who are watching it taped on YouTube and things of that nature. Give us a little bit of background on yourself and a little bit of background on 724 if, you know, some guys don't really know too much about the company.
All right. Well, a little background on myself is I was raised in Connecticut. In fact, one of the jokes with at Drew Estate was I was the only one when we got into the cigar business that could claim heritage in the cigar industry because my grandmother, who was from Poland, was actually a cigar roller in New Haven.
Oh, wow.
Really?
Yes. And I just grew up in that, you know, that typical lore of everybody was smoking. Everybody. It was, you know, you went to a family gathering. I'm Italian, so very loud, smoky kitchens. So it would be lasagna and cigars and pipes. And my grandmother would cigarettes, lots of cigarettes. I spent a lot of time. I spent 8 years active in the Marine Corps from 82 to 90. I was a cryptologist. And when I left the Corps, moved to New York City and... Over the years, over a span of about almost 10 years, I did stand-up comedy and a lot of acting and voiceover. Oh, I'm one of these guys that just, I just got to keep busy. And how I fell into the cigar thing was I happened to be a partner in a couple of restaurants up in New Haven, Connecticut. And So I was pretty busy, you know, 90-hour weeks, restaurant business. Yeah. And a friend called me one night and said, this was 1996, he said, hey, he goes, I'm importing humidors from Thailand. You want to help me sell and market these things? And I said, sure. I go, what's a humidor? And he said, come over to my house. I went over to his house. He showed me what a humidor was. I looked through because back in those days, of course, it was a phone book, if you guys remember phone books. I looked under cigar shops. My first visit, the first one I picked out, I said, I'm going to start at the World Trade Center because I see tobacconist at the World Trade Center, Jonathan Drew Incorporated. So there I go. Get to the Trade Center. Can't find the store to save my life. Hot summer day. And I keep passing this little cigar cart, though, and I finally go up to the cart to ask directions. Do you know where this Jonathan Drew Incorporated is? And they said, well, that's us. That's me. And it was Jonathan. So that's what kind of started that. He became my customer. Then I kind of slowly got into the business with him. independently. We had a nice creative arrangement to raise money whereby I was repping Nick Cigar, which now is, of course, Perdomo. I was repping Taranio. I was repping another dinosaur, if you recall, Pheasant International, all their leather and cigars and whatnot. And
I think that's before my time.
It
what's
is.
That?
I said that one's before my time.
Never heard of it.
Then you guys have to be quiet. Right?
We're listening. Go.
Mum's the word. Keep going. I'm entertained.
Are you interested?
Oh, yeah.
Dude, you have me on the edge of my seat.
I won't interrupt anymore.
I mean, just talking about this shit, I'm realizing that's a long time ago. It's time for a prostate exam. So, you know, whatever. I just I didn't know shit about cigars and this and that, other than just having smoke blown on me since I was 2 years old. I mean, I was smoking a lot of other things, don't get me wrong. But I just sort of peddled around mostly Connecticut, then I worked concentrically to expand it out from there and got to know and got my education initially the first couple of years through just being humble and showing up in your store. And so retailers educated me. And then once Drew Estate started expanding, I would make a lot of trips into Nicaragua, spent a lot of time around rolling tables and blends and herbs and oils and botanicals and spices, and all this creative blending started going on. So it was a very, very interesting ride. And that lasted, 14 years, left the industry. There might be questions about that. Left the industry and was back in school. I was teaching in Atlanta. And I just really missed things, you know. And I said to myself, you know what? I got to get back into the industry. Kept my partnership with Drew Estate, but an inactive status. And looked around to see what blend, what concept, what vibe basically had the conditions where I can go in and just give them that bump. I mean, with Drew Estate, I essentially launched all sales and marketing nationally. So I was the one hiring the reps and, you know, doing the whole outside rep thing, and then from the outside reps to the inside rep thing. The bottom line was I had been by 2006, because I was keeping track, by June of 2006, I had been to over 2,000 stores. Wow. And I'm not talking repeat. Yeah, I mean, I was relentlessly on the road. You know, I laugh when people say nowadays to me, you know what? I was hearing this in 03, 04. Like, shit, you landed in a pile of gold with that asset line, you know? And I'm like, pile of gold? You know what that took to launch that thing? I mean, there were more doors slammed in my face, in our faces with that. But it was, I learned how to just, you know what works, and then just keep pounding it out. So, again, I learned through the hard knock style, you know, actually being out there doing it. And so when I came back in, I said, you know what? I had a nice big long rest. And what company can I formalize the national distribution of? And old friend of mine, in fact, a third official customer of Drew Estate way back in the day, is Kurt Kendall, Twin Smoke Shop. Someone handed me a dog walker 2 years ago, and I'm like, damn, whose is this? And it was at Tobacco World. And Red down there said, that's your boy Kurt. And I went, what? Oh, my God. I call him up. I go, Kurt, what's up? I go, what a blend you got here. Great balance, everything, you know? He said, yeah, thanks. You know, Kurt's pretty low key and very humble, and he's like, yeah, you know, it's going very well. He goes, I don't know what to do from here. He goes, I can't handle it. He goes, you coming back in the industry anytime soon? I said, you know, who knows? Right now I'm real busy with education and whatnot. But within a year I called him up and we worked out a nice little arrangement and came back in. And I've been setting up, I've got every territory but part of the Midwest covered. The growth has been way beyond where we'd ever expected. We've done some pretty hefty purchasing of leaf, because there's a couple of one in particular very magical leaf in the 724 original blend that's it's not so easy to come by. So we really stepped to the plate there and secured that. And you know what? Slow pace wins the race. It's just a slow, steady growth. That's about that, you know? I mean, do you want to hear a little bit about the history of 724?
Yeah. Like, can I ask? I got a couple of follow-up questions for you, though. just to go through, you know, what you were just talking about. Now, mm-hmm. So your role within 724 is you're handling the marketing and sales and things.
Sales director.
Sales, marketing. I'm wearing a lot of hats. I mean, we're small. This is like, for me, this is Drew Estate 1998, we'll call it. You know, it's, so you just do everything, you know? I mean, I was just up at the vintage offices and I swept. I swept the floor.
The workman attitude is kind of lost on some people.
Yeah, well, I said from day one when I started in this industry, my natural inclination has always been proletariat, you know, and so, you know, just do as I do kind of thing. So I like to lead by example.
So you, like you said, you wear plenty of different hats right now. You've been in the industry for a while. You've seen pretty much every side of it, and you've been involved mm-hmm. in just about every side of it. What is your favorite part of working in the cigar industry?
What drew me back in the most was, it's kind of a strong word, but I guess the fellowship of all these, you know, the couple thousand thriving shops around the country where you could be blindfolded, eardropped in, not really know where you are, and then just be ushered into a cigar shop, and it's kind of, for the most part, that vibe of just commonality, and also that vibe of people that you run into that understand not just the physical aspects of life, but the metaphysical, you know? I mean, at the end of the day, we're rolling up leaves, and we're sucking on them and blowing the smoke around, and then there's none left because it burns down, and we light up some more. And what it does is facilitate the engagement of people. Like, people are very social, you know? I mean, I like to look at things like, you know, the 1950s, that front porch, suddenly by the 60s, 70s, became a back deck. You know, television, iPods, iPads, Twitter, tweet, this, that, and the other. Very little physical contact. Cigars are that perfect... that perfect way, it's that catalyst that gets, you know, we primates together in one room, you know, actually facing each other. And I think that's really cool, and I sort of really miss that. So that's what I like best. I like just being in your shop.
The only thing I'd change about your story is instead of saying humans, I would say Homo sapiens.
Right, the sapiens.
Other than that, it was perfect.
Yeah. So, I'm going to take a shot in the dark. You were teaching before this.
Yeah. Let me guess. You were teaching...
I would say sociology.
I would say literature.
No, I would say history, English.
That's close.
Definitely middle-level education. I didn't take a full-time position. Last year was a real tricky time. It was like I could have walked right in to a classroom, and it was literally flip a coin. And cigars won. I hate kids too. You know.
Well, but, no, that's, who doesn't?
No, your story is interesting, and you tell it with a lot of enthusiasm. You went through your background, and you were a teacher. And you said you did some acting and some stand-up comedy. I could see all of that. Uh-huh. I could see all of that.
Yeah, thank you.
I don't know what that means, but...
It means I'm fucking authentic.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I could BS a little bit, but, you know. If I tell a lie, I usually tell the truth within 3 minutes.
Okay. We'll see if we try to test that. And I will say this is the first show that we have had the guest drop the first F-bomb.
Before me. Logan. Yes.
No way.
I was fucking amazed. Anytime I try to follow up an F-bomb in the next 20 seconds after someone does. That's my goal.
We got a comment here. It says, Logan, Rob, I think your jobs are done for the night. Just turn off your microphones. Let Rick go. So
let him go.
Just let him go. Hey, Logan, you got some questions lined up, or do you want me to jump in?
So tell us, not really a question. It was following up. But, within, kind of 724, I know it's a revival of kind of an older cigar company, and that Kurt bought the patent on it. And, I've seen the resurgence of this, with Cremo Cigars and others. Can you tell us a little bit more about the background of 724, pre-Kurt?
I mean, 1874 was when the company was launched. It was launched by a very interesting guy, a philanthropist. His name was R.G. Sullivan. And the more I read up on the history, the more fascinating it is. And Kurt's got a museum-scale collection of all this memorabilia. It was, suffice it to say, a monster, monster brand. That factory in Manchester, New Hampshire, which incidentally 724 equates to 724 Elm Street, Manchester, New Hampshire. And that was their lead brand. Largest premium hand-rolled cigar factory in the world for many, many years. There's some real interesting cross-marketing that they were doing, for instance, throughout the 20s and 30s with Firestone Tire. And I mean, they were just a mega monster company. And Kurt was always, in fact, that first time I had walked into a store in 1996, the thing that jumped out at me, and one of my first questions was, well, hey, how you doing? What's this 724 stuff that's everywhere? What does that mean? And, you could see the passion back then that he had where, the factory's right down the street here in Manchester and this and that. And he was just, someday I'm going to try to own the name and resurrect the brand. So it's very a real sentimental endeavor for him. And I was bitten by the bug, too, because I like history. But I like to look at history more of it is instead of history is historiographic. And that's kind of how I'm building the marketing with this thing. Instead of historical, it's historiographic. And the difference being presenting images and using words that don't just teach people about the history, but actually have the ability to bring you back. And so you can equate the history that you're speaking of, that subject matter, and equate it to your life nowadays. And, if you just look at, it wasn't that long ago. I mean, I'm 51 years old. I remember when I was a kid, it was like you'd go to the supermarket and, with your grandfather, he's got a cigar in his mouth, and the butcher's got a cigarette, and the ashes are dropping on the prosciutto. It was just a whole different world. Everybody was, in many respects, much more laid back and open and a lot more rights.
So explain to me this historiographic thing. Like, do you have an example? Like what you do with 724?
It hasn't really completely come together because it's sort of a hard concept to really convey other than tying in ideas about, hey, there was a day that you would, like everybody was walking down the street smoking a cigar and walking into and shopping with a cigar in their mouth. Like the imagery on the Hustler, which I don't have a box. Again, I'm kind of stranded in Brooklyn, but if you guys have seen the Hustler, have you ever seen the box, the logo on the box?
I haven't seen the box.
I'll see if I can find a picture of it.
It's a graphic trademarked that we acquired from 1890, and it's this real impish looking slick guy, the Hustler, is walking down the street with a his briefcase and a cigar and his umbrella, and he's just, you know, bopping down the street, you know. It conveys a certain freedom, you know, the power that certain things weren't looked upon the way they're looked upon now, you know, which is fine. I'm willing to deal with anything. You know, all this legislation that goes on and all this anti-smoke, this, that, and the other, all it's really doing is forcing this exclusivity mindset on the art now, or the luxury of smoking. So I think that's where the whole thing kind of backfires when it comes to legislation. Did I get off topic?
No.
You can
I don't
tell
think
me.
So. No, I mean, I'd be the first one to tell you.
I was off topic.
No, I mean, I think you weaved it in pretty beautifully, actually.
Can we talk about butterflies? I like butterflies.
I like moths.
Do you?
That's not really. I'm not really a botanist. And as botanist is plants. What do they call the butterfly people?
Entomologists.
Entomologists. That's right.
Now you guys are off topic.
Right.
No, that's true.
So this why did Rob disappear and I got I see you're up there and you got the hustler package. Look at
that's,
that.
That's the graphic you were looking for.
Yeah, isn't that great? Look at him.
Yeah, yeah,
we resurrected that guy from the cemetery.
I can't make it any bigger, but yeah. I don't know where I got this from. Cigar Deficionado, so I don't know what that is. But anyway.
Oh.
So there we go. I'll get rid of that. So that's the graphic we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So let's see. I've got some follow-up questions. Not really follow-up questions, but questions that were submitted. We've kind of covered a lot of the stuff already. Now I lost it. Here we go. So I guess Harley Holmes wants to know, he said, tell us a little bit about the current blends. So yeah, I guess let's focus on the cigars now. We've talked about the company. We've talked about your background. Let's talk mm-hmm. a little bit about the cigars. You've got the 724 original, mm-hmm. you've got the 724, the 1874, which I'm smoking right now. I don't know if you guys can see that. But mm-hmm. that's the band on that one. And then the mm-hmm. Hustler. So give us anything that's upcoming. So give us a little bit of background on each of the blends.
724 we call the original. And that blend is I'll start by saying that none of the blends at this point, nor is there any near-term plans to use Ligero. This is all about creative blending through Seiko y Velado. So the 724 original, you've got a Brazilian Montefino binder, wrapper, Costa Rican binder, there's Honduran, Nicaraguan, San Andrean Mexican, and I don't want to give it up too much, but, you know, a nice little half leaf of Colombian black, some very, very rich stuff, but with limited, a Lorison value, if that means anything to you. You know, just
it
that
does
point.
Not.
Yeah. It's
frankly.
Yeah, there's a structure of the DNA that kind of permits this this expression of the leaf. Like the leaf is like, notice me, but not with a handgun in its hand. Like, in other words, you're going to notice me by me endearing myself to you. Huh. So Colombian black, you like that imagery? So Colombian black is just that. Not to mention, it plays well with others in terms of when married with other leaves. It allows those leaves to express themselves without them having to be too powerful. So it really tempers this blend out really nicely. The 1874 was intentionally blended to be that mild Nicaraguan cigar. So you have a Habanos Nicaraguan wrapper on there, Nicaraguan binder. Actually, it's a Nicaraguan Puros with the exception of one temper leaf of Honduran. And Hustler is Ecuadorian Connecticut swirled, as you can see, with Brazilian Montefina. When we first went into production on this, the intent was to do a limited run, something super special, a novelty kind of cigar because, of course, the eccentricity of it. And you know what? It's we just did another monster production run, just took in some more boxes, and it's absolutely flying. It comes packaged in three sizes and one box, which I call a small imprint display box. So nine of each size, 27 in all. And we also just last week released refill bundles for the shelves in this particular unit.
Oh.
So it's shocking me because I really didn't think that a barber pole would have that kind of endurance. But, you know, the flavor, I say, just kind of corkscrews into your mouth. It's got a real certain creaminess to it. And the guts are very similar to that of 724. And there's urine in it.
Feces.
But not a lot.
Just enough.
I like how you dropped that in just to make sure we're paying attention.
Oh, I was.
I was hearing myself, and I'm like, you're fucking boring.
No, this is great. We're all enchanting. This is not
you're boring. You're enchanting.
Logan, before you start, I have a question. Okay. Now, you said that this is all, you're all Viso and Seco, no Lajero. Why?
You know, the motto, the original motto, that's a great question because that ties me back. That's a callback to R.G. Sullivan and Kurt's respect for his, probably his biggest motto was blended for every palate, which is something we're moving forward with. That's what 724 was always known for, you know. And so fast forward to nowadays, you know, I don't care if you're a mild cigar smoker or a full body, chances are you're going to like it. You know, it's all about the smoothness, the richness. And, you know, I call it a luxury smoke. It's a true luxury smoke. And, of course, the 1874, that much more. It's very, very smooth. Mild, but hint of pepper all the way through.
Yeah, I'm actually smoking that one right now, and I am enjoying it. It is much milder. Mm-hmm. It's funny that you say that about the 724 original. I posted my review today, and at the end I always do a recommendation. And this is what I said. I'm going to read what I said verbatim. I said, this is a damn good smoke, and I would recommend it to just about any cigar smoker. So there's enough flavor and complexity to keep the veteran cigar smoker interested, and it's not going to kick your butt if you're a new smoker. If you like powerhouse cigars and prefer strength over flavor, then this one probably isn't for you. But if you like a medium strength smoke with tons of flavor, then I suggest you fire one up. That's almost exactly what you said. I mean,
yeah, you nailed it.
Not to say that I nailed it. I mean, you got the blend nails it because that's what the goal was.
Yeah.
And that obviously, I mean, it translates. So,
right. And, yeah. I mean, a good point is Rob and my palates are completely different. I'll smoke, you know, double Lajero chisels for breakfast, and Rob's more in kind of the medium wheelhouse. And we both talked before the show. We both reviewed the cigar, and we both loved it, right? And I think for me, I think you hit the nail on the head. Like, it was complex, it was smooth, it was rich, but it had enough there. I mean, in my review, I'm not as wordy as Rob, and I can't spell worth a shit. And if you actually read it and can make sense of what I'm saying, then you're probably like an English major. But, you know, I thought, you know, personally, I thought, you know, having the Colombian tobacco, the Nicaraguan tobacco, you know, the Mexican, Honduran, you know, there's some cigars that try to do that, and it was going to be, you know, it can be too muddled. You know what I mean? Like, there's too much going on. And it was just, it was perfect, man. It worked well together. It was flavorful and complex. Like, it had a little bit of sweetness, like this vanilla bean nougat kind of thing. Like, that's Rob's word, not mine.
Nougat.
But, you know, yeah, nougat, yeah. I wrote it. Kept me on the edge of my seat the entire time. And it was great. It was good.
Cool.
And Rob and I never agree.
We rarely, seriously.
Rarely
agree on anything.
Wow.
Yeah, so you brought us together. You're bringing people together.
Harmony. It's all harmony. You know?
So, you got some audience questions there?
I do. I have a good one. And but it's a great question. So who on the 724 lines, the Hustler, the original, the 1874, who's doing most of the blending? Is it Kurt or you, or is it a combo? And my guess would be with the barber pole, that has to be your idea.
You know, I'm not even on a year. So a lot of this stuff we've been talking about, he and I have been talking about, and we're working on some other things. But so far, you know, this is Kurt. This is Kurt. These are his blends. And again, you know, he used to always have, when I would go up to visit him over the years, he always would come back with some killer stuff that he would roll in Honduras or Nicaragua. You know, some people just have that way. You know, my palate's kind of shot. It's actually coming back. You know, I took 3 years off from torturing it too much because I kind of, you know, I reached a point where I was the lawnmower in the mouth kind of cigar smoker too. I, you know, triple, quadruple Ligero, you know.
That's me.
Yeah. If there's no canker sore, then it's like, this sucks.
This isn't working. Yeah, right. It's true. It's true, man.
I'm not bleeding. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Right. So now I've got, you know, I'm a little more gentle on my palate now, too. So, yeah, no, it's all in deference to Kurt for these blends, for sure.
So, you know, with that being said, is there anything in the works for you guys coming up where you'll have a little bit more of a hand in the blending process, or are you going to stick kind of directly with the sales, the marketing, and being the all-around badass for 724?
I've been offering a lot of it's been a shared effort now, and again, Hustler was a bit of me. I think one of, like, this stripe right here, that's the one I did. That little thing, you see it? You know, we have the spider, which we've been working on, which, that was sort of an aborted mission, because we had that out last year. We were taking orders on it with the, intent of having it out last year. And, you know, the bar was real high for that cigar, and, we just re-engineered it. And, you know, we did some things to it, you know, and that's, you know, the spider starts with a very, very exceedingly oily, we're talking OPEC level oil. Jalapa wrapper.
Hmm.
Yeah. And, and it's tasting great. In fact, we're bringing that into New Hampshire in wheels, basically, and packaging it ourselves in New Hampshire. Wow. To kind of pay homage to New England, you know? And they're going to come in furniture-grade humidors, glass, you know, hand-etched top with that original Spider logo. Spider was from 1932. So that's kind of the idea here, is to resurrect these brands. And usually when you hear about the history of brands, it brings you, you know, right away you're thinking Cuba or maybe Tampa or but the history in New England alone, or the Northeast or Midwest, of cigars and huge brands is just, it's amazing. And these brands are just forgotten for the most part, but it was such a big part of our culture, you know. So it's kind of a sentimental thing.
Okay. So it sounds like that's going to be more of a premium, not premium, that's not the right word, like a higher end cigar for you guys?
Yeah, very, very small batch, you know. Yeah. I think they're coming in, they'll probably come in about 13 a stick. Yeah.
Okay, that's not too bad. That's kind of right around where everything is nowadays. So we can expect that right around IPCPR, you said?
No, in terms of shipping it, let's call it August.
Okay.
Late August.
Right. Late August.
Late August.
So someone from the audience had an interesting question, said that, you know, you're smoking, you know, quadruple Ligeros and you kind of damage your palate. Well, for me, when I take time off or whatever, you know, I'm flying or whatever, when that next cigar, I feel like I've kind of gave my palate a break and I come back. But you said that yours is starting to come back. I mean, do you think taking the 3 years off, you know, hurt you in terms of, you know, the ability to taste tobacco and everything? And why, what are you doing now to bring your palate back to where it was?
Well, yeah, no, I needed 3 years, trust me. I mean, I was, you know, 8 to 15 cigars a day.
Damn.
Cigarettes, you know, if something burned, I would smoke it, you know?
Hey.
So, yeah, no, and now I'm just, you know, I'm probably two to three cigars a day and, you know, just tasting a lot of different stuff. What's really cool about the cigar biz in 2013 is there's so much good stuff out there.
It's true.
It really is. There's so many amazing things that have been learned by these growers and whatnot, and it's just a lot of good stuff. It's a lot of brands and a lot of good stuff. You know, it's great. Did that answer the question?
I mean, yep. I couldn't have said anything better. I think it was pretty good.
What?
Let me stick into the original. Oh, here's another question. Is that it sounds like, you know, when you kind of talked about, you know, the original 724 and, you know, keeping them kind of a smoke for everyone, is the intent with 724 to really adhere to the old brand of 724 and try to adhere to that motto? Do you see yourself breaking out and doing anything, you know, full body, Ligero or anything, or are you going to stick to kind of those core values?
No. Ligero is definitely out there. It's on the horizon. Yeah. But right now, again, you know, building brands is a very tricky thing. And I really think you've got to kind of pound out a concept and stay true to a concept and allow it time to build. And 724 this time around is in its fetal stages. I mean, let's call it 2 years. So we're just very methodically placing it around the country, you know, picking the right stores and placing it. So, but no, I mean, the sky's the limit, you know, in terms of Ligero.
So it sounds like you mentioned before that there's that one tricky tobacco that's in the 724 original, and you guys went out and bought up a bunch of it. So we can kind of expect to see the 724 original. It's a great smoke. If you guys haven't tried it, I highly recommend it. So we can see that. That's going to be around for a while. It's not going to be one of those situations where, you know, a company has a great cigar and didn't plan ahead and now it's gone.
Yeah. Hefty investment in materials used for 724.
That's good. I'm glad to hear it, because I mean, this was the first time that I've been exposed to the brand. I'd seen it, you know, before on, you know, you see pictures on Facebook and Twitter and things of that nature, but I'd never tried it. And that Lancero was great, man. It's the only size I've had. I haven't had the, I think this is the dog walker, I think. And the Lancero is just, Kurt referred to it as the double dog walker. Is that what the name is? I haven't seen it referred to that way, but he referred to it that way.
Yeah. Well, yeah, no. I mean, same ring, I believe. So it's Lancero is my favorite size too. I mean, I love it. That's my favorite Lancero ever. The 724 Lancero. It's just I just love it.
It's got such the flavor for me. It's, you know, there's a lot of chocolate right up front. Mm-hmm. There was some espresso flavor in there, a little bit of coffee bitterness, and there's this flavor that I get occasionally from cigars. I was talking to Logan about it, and I don't know. It's got to be some spice that I'm not familiar with, some baking spice or something, because I always call it bakery sweet. It reminds me of kind of like a rum cake. You know, put the powdered sugar on.
Yeah.
And it had that in the beginning, and then in the middle, it kind of transitioned into like a nougat kind of sweetness. And I always, there's that flavor that reminds me of the Big Hunk candy bar. And I don't know if the Big Hunk candy bar is regional, because nobody seems to know what the hell.
I've never fucking heard of it.
Never heard of it in the F word?
No.
It's called the Big Hunk, and it's just a big piece of nougat with peanuts in it.
Wow.
It's fantastic. But that's what the flavor reminded me of. So anyway.
I've been saying since since the first one I smoked, I'm 724 original, is caramel. Like, wow, that caramel. There's caramel there.
Yeah.
And it speaks to the primings, too. The primings are pretty solid with this.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I didn't realize that you guys, I mean, I guess you could tell after you smoke it that there's no Ligero in there. But
I could tell.
Well, yeah, but that's not a really common practice. Like, there's usually
not at all.
In just about everything.
It's good. I mean, I was shocked. It was good. And the other thing about it, I mean, I hate to be throwing out so many freaking compliments tonight, because typically I just, you know, bash people on the show like last week and everyone calls me a jerk. But no, I want to give another compliment. That was the best constructed Lancero I've ever smoked in my life. You know, most Lanceros, you know, are real soft, you know, and just because of the rolling. Then you have to dry box them so they smoke right. I left that fucker in the humidor up until the time I smoked it, and it was tightly rolled. It was like a fucking Robusto or tighter. I mean, it was fucking amazing.
Yes.
Compliments galore.
You know, rolled into bottle. I mean, everything that we do is rolled into bottle. That's very, very important, you know.
Can you explain that? Is that rolling it into itself? What does that mean exactly?
Into bottle speaks to the this may be one of my own terms, by the way. It speaks to the vertical integrity of the cigar. So when you have a cigar in your hand, you know, you want to feel like you have something in your hand, you know, some value. That's the tactile end of the cigar experience. You know, that's your temporary buddy that you're getting intimate with, but it's safe, relatively. You know, the vast majority of factories do is a method called booking, which essentially is I have leaf one, leaf two, leaf three, leaf four, put them on my hand, bunch it up, put the binder on, in the mold, out of the mold, past the wrapper. Entubato is I've got my four leaves set up on the table, pick up leaf one, bunch it, hold it in my left hand, but bunch two, or leaf two, bunch it, put that next to one, three next to two, four next to three. Now I've got four bunches, or, you know, theoretically, it's four cigars. Now you put the binder in the mold, out of the mold, past the wrapper. Now you've got more tobacco. It's denser because when you roll into bottle, you'll use even a larger leaf. Okay. But you have the benefit of those extra airflows going through the cigar as you pull on it, instead of just relying on that one. So that's where you tend to get tight drawers, or you tend to rollers won't want to really pack it full of tobacco because they don't want it plugged up, so they end up being soft. You know, so entubato is the old Cuban style.
And I learned something new today. That was great, because I've heard the term before. I didn't know exactly what it meant. So thank you. What percentage, because now that you say that, I think of cigars that I know what's the one that has the tip on the end that looks like it's got the tape, like the don't walk here tape, Berger and Argenti, or however the hell you say, you know what I'm talking about? They roll the same way, and the cigars are definitely more well-made. What percentage of people actually roll in that style versus the other? Is it more expensive or time-consuming? Is there a reason everyone doesn't do it?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's the better rollers, you know, that work with that do it that way. The more boutique houses that roll that way, it's slightly more time-consuming to roll into bottom.
Got it. Got it.
I mean, a few years ago, it was probably, you know, 90% would roll booking, only 10% entubato. I think that entubato's coming up, you know, because it's to me, it's just that important. Vertical integrity.
This is good, man.
I like vertical integrity.
You can use that.
Another thing, I will use that. There was another thing that you commented on that I actually put, again, translates, because I wrote in my review, I said, you know, it has a solid dagger-like feel in your hands. Like, sometimes you can hold a Lancero or any smaller ring gauge really, and it's like, you don't really feel like you got anything. And it's kind of light, it's a little bit too much. This was substantial, and I was concerned really before I lit it up, because I thought, wow, there's going to be some draw issues in here, because it's really solid.
Yeah.
But I had no draw issues. It got a little tight in the middle, but nothing to complain about, and there was a ton of smoke production. Yeah. So, again, what did you say? Vertical
integrity.
The vertical integrity was. I'm going to go back in there. I'm editing my review. I'm putting vertical integrity in there. All right, Logan. I'm going to shut up. Go ahead,
dude. I was just trying to process that, because that was very insightful. I really enjoyed that. So let me ask. So, you know, with 724, you know, you're back and firmly in the industry. You're on our show right now. You know, mm-hmm. what's next for you, Rick? What can we expect, you know, 6 months down the road from you?
From me personally?
I mean, you personally, you know, 724, you know, I don't know. You tell me. I asked the question.
You know what? We're just going to repeat. I'm going to repeat what I've been doing, you know, which is every other week for the most part. I'm in a different territory. My next visit is in, I have an event, plus we're going to visit some shops in Nashville. And that's at the end of the month. Before that, I'm doing a real great store in Marietta called Truly Cigars. I'm doing an event there. And, you know, and then it's the crunch for the trade show. And then summer, you know, I'll spend some time in New England up at the office and traveling around New England. I just keep, you know, again, there's no shortcut to any place worth going. So I just keep roaming, you know, just keep showing up. It's face-to-face. Having been out of the industry for 3 years and kind of watching it from afar through social media, I think a lot of companies, especially a lot of these new companies, are sort of missing the idea. They're thinking that Facebook and Twitter and reviews and this isn't that is that's all you need. And it's no, you know what? Getting back to what I was talking about earlier, it's a very social thing. We're social animals. It's a great industry, but you have to show up, you know.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's funny that you say that because, I mean, I think everyone we've had on the show is more, you know, kind of the boutique-esque and all of them talk about the power of social. Hell, I'm a, mm-hmm. I mean, you could call myself a social media consultant, but I wouldn't give myself that much credit. But, you know, I think you're the first person that's actually said that, you know, social is important, obviously, but the face-to-face relationship is just as, or if not more important. So I think that's an interesting take on it. So let me ask you this. Since you've been out for, you know, 3 years, you come back, I mean, you're familiar, you've kind of kept an eye on it. What was the biggest difference coming back into it for you? Like you left and you came back and you're like, shit, this changed. What was that?
Bowled over by social media, bowled over. And I just couldn't believe how many companies I saw relying solely upon that and just kind of pulling back from other things. The simple things, you know, show up. You know, showing up is worth 1,000 tweets.
It's true.
I just put it out.
You are dropping pearls of wisdom.
Dude, I've got to save some of these, man. This is great.
No. that really got me. The other one that got me was the tremendous increase in brands, you know, and expansion and what's going on. There's great tobacco out there. There's great people behind the great tobacco, but there's so much of it right now. You know, I would almost be prepared to say glut. There's like a lot. It seems even in like closeout cigars, it's like, wow, there's just a lot of cigars out there. But, you know, I always like to think in the solution and be positive. So that just tells me that it's just more and more people are coming in. There's just millions of people that are just discovering, you know, cigars. And it's an amazing thing. And, again, you know, our best public service announcements and our best, most effective marketing for the world of cigars is through legislation. You know, a 30% tax is almost like, 30% extra smokers now because of the attention drawn to that. I mean, just anything that draws attention to it and puts an exclusivity on it, like, don't do this. Oh, yeah? Well, I'm going to do this with my butt, you know? And I like that. I like that. Dead time.
I know. Wrapping it up. No, I'm just kidding. Were you weather. Just backing up the truck?
Are we, what's going on?
The weather.
I heard a beep sound.
Oh, beeping? No, no beeping here. So we got, Rick, we promised you that we would get you out of here in an hour, and it's been 50 minutes.
Okay.
We really do. We enjoy the time you spent with us. You've dropped some knowledge on us. It's been a lot of fun. I mean, I've seen a lot of comments go through. I could just listen to you talk for hours. but we know you've got places to go and people to see. And I do like the fact that we get a lot of people because what we do is predominantly social media. That's what we do.
It's true. Yeah.
We do this show. We're on Facebook and Twitter. We're reviews and everything. But mm-hmm. there's still that face-to-face handshake aspect of this business. Mm-hmm. It doesn't really exist. It exists, I guess. I mean, it really exists in all business. But it does kind of harken back to that time that you guys are reaching back to with this older brand and the older yeah. styles. So mm-hmm. I don't know. I like your attitude, man.
Thank you.
So, Logan, let's do some of these giveaways.
All right. So all you weasels out there, little weasels.
We still have questions. We've got another 10 minutes, so.
All right. Well, why don't we – so we decide one box, the dog walker, and then how many samplers, Rick? 2, 3, 17, 100? What do you think?
Oh, let's do 5.
Hey.
Sounds good to me.
Let's do it. All right. So you ask a couple of questions and let me get it set up.
Oh, let me pull up the questions here. Give me a second. Talk amongst yourselves.
Talk amongst yourselves.
I haven't been following the chat room like you have been, Logan. So
they're on it, dude. There's like 25 people in there.
Did we ask Rick about Drew Estate? Yeah, we covered that.
We're talking about the blog post.
Blog posts?
Yeah. Were you the blog post?
The blog post. We covered all that stuff. Okay. There were a lot of questions, but we covered them all already. Oh no, there's more.
Well, yeah, dude, people give a shit. What the hell? People care.
Oops.
We covered most of this stuff. We covered all of this stuff.
We covered everything.
Yeah, we did. We've
that's why I have a headache.
So yeah, let's do it. I think we should do we tend to just kind of pick people. I think for the box giveaway, because that's pretty substantial, I think we should go random.
Well, okay.
Hey, you want to do the pick a number thing? You okay with that?
Yeah, let me just get... It's kind of hard to export out all the people in the chat. It's not that easy. All right, number between 1 and 19, Rick. Go.
6.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Catfish, you win a sampler. Good job. Yep.
Catfish is the winner.
Catfish.
Catfish. I thought you said patfish.
No, catfish. Blue cat. Catfish. Good job, buddy.
I like him.
It's a good name. He's a good guy. All right, next number, not number 6.
9.
Hardly clerking, you fucking weasel. You always win shit.
So, okay, wait, how many, we got what? We've got 4 more to give away?
Yeah, 3 samplers, and then the box.
Well, I thought we just gave the box to Catfish, no?
No, I was doing the samplers first, and then doing the box at the end.
Catfish got a sampler. So yeah. do a random picking for the box.
How could it be any more random than just putting up a number?
Well, yeah, no, go do the box now, is what I'm saying.
You don't wait for the grand finale? I know, me too.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, pick another number.
11.
All right. 1 second. Oh, Matt Rosenthal, sampler. You get your wish.
He's complaining.
Clapping. Where'd that clapping come from?
Dude, can't we do the clap in the chat?
Hold on. Let me see if I can find what it
Eddie Ortega was.
We had Eddie on a couple weeks ago. He had all kinds of sound effects. Okay, here we go. Okay, wait.
All right, so we got 11. We need a couple more.
Okay, let's go with 16.
Okay. Nicholas Smith, big winner.
Nice.
Da-da-da. All right, another number.
I
found these.
Hold on. Harley Holmes, another big winner.
Good for you, fella.
Good for you, fella. I love it. Now, for the big winner. For the big winner, the box of dog walkers. And you can just send it to Logan Lawler, and that'll be fine.
I'll just call it. A box of dog walkers. 17.
Let me see. That's actually me, believe it or not. That really is. I swear. I'm not lying.
Well, so we'll pick a new one.
I can't win.
Let's go with two.
Bill Williams. Congrats.
Good for you, Bill.
Good for you, Bill.
You know, Bill actually commented on my review today.
He didn't comment on mine. What an asshole.
He said, I totally agree. This is one of my favorite cigars. Some say it's box worthy, and I did buy a box. He said, I like all the 724 cigars, but this one's definitely my favorite. So there you go, and he wins a box. So good for him.
Thank you.
Yeah. That's good. So you, Logan, you're going to handle all that?
Of course. I'm your bitch.
All the logistics. Thanks, Meg.
Hey, fuck off.
Rick, do you watch...
Unravel now.
Rick, do you watch Family Guy?
No.
So you're not familiar? Well, there's the daughter on there.
I watched it. I was nodding my head, actually.
Okay. It's hard to tell because, like we were talking about before, the sound and your picture is a little bit off.
Right.
But we call Logan Meg, so he doesn't get any respect.
I know, dude. They want to put me in a pink beanie IPCPR. Can you imagine that shit?
With the 724 logo on it.
I'd do it, man. You make it, I'll wear it.
We'll have to do it.
You have a lot of pubic hair.
I don't even want to know what that's about.
Rick, didn't Meg have that?
She wears the pink beanie.
Yeah.
But she had a lot of pubic hair on one of those shows.
Oh, you...
I
do watch it, yeah.
Yeah. The only episode I saw. I saw it 9 times.
It's one of those shows that's like Seinfeld. It's always on.
Always. Right.
What time of day, you can always find it. Yeah. So, Rick, again, thank you for taking the time to sit down and chat with us and give us a little history lesson. I really enjoyed everything you had to say. You had your view on the industry is original compared to some of the people that we've spoken with. So... thank you for being candid and taking the time to sit down and chat with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. You guys are great. I enjoyed myself.
Good.
I'm glad.
Yeah. I'm glad you did, too.
It'd have been shitty if you didn't, man. Is this the best interview? Hey, the best interview show you've been on? The best show you've been on? Oh, there done. Is. Done. Yes. What's this?
Yeah. We need to not do the sound effects. The soundboard's just coming off. Oh, wait, we have a laugh track, too? I didn't know that.
Yeah, dude, we got good ones.
Oh, crickets. Yeah, we'll use those a lot. Okay, we said we were going to keep you here for an hour. It's been 58 minutes. We're getting you out of here ahead of time. Rick, we appreciate it again. Look forward to seeing you at IPCPR. And,
we'll be there.
Are you going to wear a leprechaun costume like you did last time or whatever this that I heard about?
Well, it's got lemur shit on it, but I think I'll still wear it.
It was sweet, dude.
Thank you.
Like actual lemurs have actually defecated on the costume?
Yeah. I did a show, and there was a lemur on my back, a live animal show, a cigar event. And a lemur was on my back, and they're seed dispersers, so you can't toilet train them. So it just shit all over me.
They're what?
Lemurs.
Lemurs are seed dispersers, like other persimmons. Or simians, monkeys, primates, you can't toilet train them because they're wired to drop seeds. Thank God humans aren't.
Yeah, maybe that's your problem, Logan.
Yeah, I see.
Yeah, I mean, just,
this. No, I got deeper issues.
I've learned a lot today.
Learned a lot, I know.
Again, we appreciate it. Look forward to seeing you. Look forward to the spider that's going to come out later this year. You guys have a great product. You guys got a good thing going, so keep it up. And good luck for the rest. Good luck moving forward, man.
All righty. And you guys as well. We'll see you in Vegas. And just let me know how you want to arrange the boxes that I won't be sending.
No problem. I will email you everyone's address you won't be shipping it to.
Okay, that's great news.
Well, at least he's upfront about it.
Yeah, we're honest.
The first thing I'm going to do is call my attorney.
I would.
How do I get out of this shit? No,
get out of this shit.
I don't know. People have seen it.
I'm in Brooklyn in a fucking rainstorm, and these guys are breaking my balls.
All right, guys. Appreciate you coming out to another Cigar Chat. We are back next week, next Thursday.
Nope. The 2 weeks.
I'm not here next Thursday, and the world revolves around me, so we can't be here.
Pretty following me,
who do we got? Logan?
Nomad, Fred Rui.
Fred Rui, Nomad Cigars coming back in.
We'll be here.
And then, God, we're getting close to the show, man. We've got what? Hold on. I'll give you guys the whole rundown here. We've got Nomad coming in, and then
double show on July 2nd.
And then we're doubling up on July 2nd. We've got Barry from Miami Cigar, and Ezra Zion will be here. And then the Thursday before the show, because we leave on Friday, the Thursday before the show, we've got Renato Cigars coming in again. So
nice.
Book shows, and then we're going to be live every day at IPCPR, so you guys are going to get sick of us. So
go ahead, it's by the end of it.
You're real busy. Don't work too hard.
You know, we're trying to make it look that way.
Exactly.
Again, guys, thanks for all the support. Rob from Robbie Raz Reviews. You can find me on Twitter at Robbie Raz. Logan.
Logan Cigar Federation. Logan at Doe. Corporate Monkey.
Corporate Monkey. And Rick, you're on Twitter too, right?
Yes,
fucking,
I am.
Fucking A, yes.
It's at Richard L. Ardito.
I don't know why it's Richard L. Ardito. I've tried to change that, but, you know, social media, let's just say I need to take a course or something.
Perfect segue. On Saturday at IPCPR, I'm delivering the seminar for social media for retailers, and I would be happy to have your presence there. You can learn a lot.
What time is that?
I think it's 2 o'clock.
Oh.
And there's free cigars, so be there.
I don't smoke. What?
Well, none of us do.
So Logan's going to drop some knowledge at the show. And
cool.
It's going to be good. So we'll see you in a month and a half.
Absolutely.
Not even that, a month.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, take care, Rick, guys. We appreciate it. Take care. Have a good weekend.
See you guys later.
Thanks again.
Adios. No problem. Thank you, guys.